You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose. All dolphins. All the time. Touchdown! Now, here's your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solana.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. Brendan Tobin here alongside my co-host, Alejandro Solana. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm pumped up. Headed out to California tomorrow, and Tobin, I'm slowly but surely talking myself into back-to-back victories for the Dolphins in California.
How's this working for you? Are you staying out there the whole time? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I'll be in San Fran until Sunday, and then we head straight to LA after the game.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought about coming back, but the idea of like 3 or 4 6-hour flights just made me miserable. So I decided I'm going to stick it out in LA and you know, wait until the following Sunday for Sunday Night Football.
So nice of you to for McCoaching to put you on the list. You know, you and Mike McDaniel are boys. So that's really big of him. I'm glad that he saw that, you know what, this man needs to rest up for afternoon drive shenanigans as well. Let's keep him out here with the team. It's very important.
An integral part of the process.
Of course.
So, he's keeping me out there.
So, all right, that's cool. Have you, you're going to get to kind of scope what it's like out there. And then, you know, you might as well, while you're out there, maybe do a scouting trip to Glendale. Because, you'll have to do the out there for February too, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll hit up every In-N-Out burger in Cali and, do a little scouting report ahead of, because there's In-N-Out in Glendale also. So, you know, I'll be well versed in the In-N-Out burgers all across the West Coast in anticipation for the Super Bowl.
Are you expecting Joe Rose to like hobnob you around town? That's his stomping ground out there in Northern California.
Yeah, it is. I think he's going back to like his hometown, so he won't be in LA too long. So I'm solo dolo out there, bro.
Just trying to
get invited to some Dolphins parties or I don't know. I'll see.
Well, Tua said this week, he says there's going to be group outings. I feel like you got to get in on that top golf trip.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm on the list for that one too. I'm sure.
I was like listening to him talk about it and I was like, this sounds like a man who has a young baby at home and can't wait to have some time away from a baby.
For sure.
His sleep is getting interrupted. He just wants some time with the boys. Remember what it's like. It's different, man. I'm telling you, they're joys, but they're little time suckers. So
yeah,
you know that is that's when I heard that I was like, seems awfully chipper to get out on the West Coast. He's like, it seems like a guy who is hearing a lot of baby shark in his time.
Yeah, there's two games, sure, but a week vacation away from baby shark. Yeah, probably not too bad for old Tua.
By the way, as we record this right now, there's a huge AFC East matchup going on. How'd you go into tonight with Buffalo and New England? Because I mean, by logic, we should be rooting for the Patriots because it's just better for the divisional picture. But I mean, F Boston, and they have Mac Jones, and he sucks. So, I mean, this is very hard for me, Solana. I don't know how to do this.
So conflicted, man. Like, screw Bill Belichick forever. Screw Mac Jones, the biggest bum of them all. Yep. But also, you know, I kind of like the Dolphins atop the AFC East.
I do too.
And if the Bills win today, the Dolphins have to take care of business on Sunday in San Francisco. So, yeah, I don't know. I was very conflicted, but I do feel like, you know, Bill Belichick pulling off the most Belichickian win of all time again against the Bills at home. I feel like that just benefits the Dolphins so much right now. That's what I was leaning towards.
Yeah, I can understand that. As we record this, it's 17-7 Bills at halftime. Mac Jones is thrown for less than 100 yards. Sucks. But listen, maybe by the time you guys wake up and listen to this morning, maybe old McCorkle would have gotten it done, but I doubt it. We'll see. We'll see. You know, maybe it'll be a couple pick sixes from Josh Allen. Who knows?
That game's over, Tobin. Let's be real. This one's over. 17-7. Half-time, done.
Yeah, Mac Jones down 10. Might as well be down 100. I think, you know, he's got no shot. But how are we feeling this week, man? Like, you know, there's a lot of surrounding talks going into this Dolphins game. Obviously, you know, these two teams have a lot of layering of knowing each other with, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel, and then the back and forth jokey jokes with the former 49ers, Debo Samuel, and Raheem Mostert going at it a little bit, Tyreek Hill poking the bear on Twitter, all that stuff. But the big, I think, question is, like, what the hell is going to happen with Teron Armstead? And according to the injury report thus far, he has not participated, which I don't know if that rules him out. Typically, if you don't practice on a Thursday, it's not a good sign. He's an interesting case in that he has done no practices at certain points this year and has played.
Yeah. So if you take into account what the what has been consistent all season, you'd say, okay, he's going to play Sunday. He doesn't practice anyways. So practice really doesn't matter. But Tobin, in my gut, I'm saying he doesn't play. That's just in my gut, because we talked about it, right? What's more important, him playing Sunday or him being available week 14 and week 15? And we know the answer to that. As much as we want this one for McDaniel going back to San Francisco, the opportunity for the offense to go up against the best defense in the NFL right now, a team that hasn't given up a point in their last four second halves combined. Like, their last four games, no points in the second half have been allowed by this 49ers defense. Like, as much as we'd love to see Tua go in there and light him up, and you know Teron's such an important part of that, let's be real. The one against the Chargers on Sunday Night Football and then in Buffalo, more important. So my gut is telling me he doesn't play this Sunday, and he tries to rest up and get healthy for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was trying to break down like the code of what McDaniel was saying this week to the press when asked about it, because I mean, he seemed very honest when it came to Austin Jackson. He says, I don't expect him to play.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that with Teron Armstead, but it felt like he was, you know, leaning like, it's not as bad. He thinks he'll be back, but, you know, I don't know how much hope we should hold out for this week. So I tend to agree with you. I'm not as down as most Dolphins are, though. Like, I don't think it's catastrophic if he is out this week. I think that what they were put into was a rough situation, because when you lose him mid-game, then you are scrambling a little bit. And these guys, right, we've seen this with the quarterback situation. If you don't prepare during the week, like you're going to practice and you're the man, it can be a little bit daunting. And while, yes, early in the season, Teron Armstead was not practicing at all, that hasn't been the case recently. He's been getting in his Thursday, Fridays with the team, and they've been getting on the same page. I am curious to see if they have the decision of Austin Jackson not playing, what do they do with tackle? Like, does Brandon Shell, what side does he go on? Because he's looked really great at right tackle. That is to his blind side. But you know, typical behavior in football is you put your best guy on the left side. I know he didn't look good there this past week and earlier in the season, but I don't know where they're going to fill those gaps in, if they need to fill both tackle spots. But I do feel better about it that they know this entire week, basically, they probably have to prepare without it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Going into the second half, you're scrambling, as you said, And having the whole week to scheme without Teron Armstead, Mike McDaniel, knowing that that's the case and trying to, I guess, compensate for that loss in other areas. I'm with you. Like, it might not be as catastrophic as a loss just because of that. You know, going into this week that you're probably going to be without him. But, you know, as positive as we may want to be going into this game, I've told you how I feel about Teron, where Tua, Tyreek, MVP caliber seasons, I think the most important piece to that puzzle is Tron Armstead. So just me feeling that way coming into last week and then him going down, it's tough for me just because I do feel so strongly about how he's played this season. It's tough for me to envision the Dolphins offensive line being as productive or as close to being that productive without him.
You know, I've heard people say this, and I get that, that he's the most important piece or he's the most irreplaceable piece. And certainly I get why that argument is there. But if I really told every Dolphin, obviously Tua is number one, that's not a fun argument. But if I really told you, hey, going into this game, you can't have Tyreek Hill or you couldn't have Tyron Armstead, you'd say, yeah, I wouldn't want Tyreek Hill.
No, I would say give me Tyreek and Teron hit the bricks. That's what I'd say.
I feel like I would say that too. Like Tyreek Hill is, I feel like as important as the line is, and it is important, I do feel like this offense can be equipped to survive it. It's a little bit harder if they can't get the run game going because you don't have that foolery of the RPO, and I think everybody knows what's happening, but I just think that with the quarterback and those two guys being as quick as they are, I feel like they can mask a lot of that in ways where other teams cannot. Like they don't have, you know, the statue in the back pocket. Because Tua, I mean, look, Tua, I thought showed some elusiveness in that Houston game. So I don't know. I'm more optimistic than most that they could. This is a tough matchup. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Nick Bosa is a monster. He just won Defensive Player of the Month. So it's not an ideal one to be up against for sure. But I do feel like some things can at least happen. And these guys are explosive enough and quick enough in the way they run this offense that if you told me that I could only have one of them for whatever reason, this Sophie's Choice was out there, I feel like I'd survive. I'd find ways to make it around not having Teron as opposed to Tyreek.
Yeah. And to be fair, I mean, I'm kind of being a hypocrite because I'm the one that was claiming, you know, who have the Niners beat the last 4 weeks? So I'm shoving all these stats down everybody's throat right now by saying number one defense in the NFL. They haven't lost a game since they got blown out by Kansas City. And hey, I also was the one saying they haven't beaten anybody the last 4 weeks either. You know, their schedule has been kind of softy cakes, similar to what people would say about the Dolphins too. That is what people were saying right now. Like they did it against the Lions and the Bears. Okay, let's see you do it against the Niners. So, you know, maybe you can talk me into something here, Tobin. Maybe you're speaking the gospel. I'll listen. I'm wide open to this.
If you told me that they didn't have two, like people were trying to do this without having two, and I was like, no, they're screwed without two. We've seen that. That doesn't work. If you didn't have Tyreek Hill, if there was a game that, all right, you know what? We have Jalen Waddle. We know life without Tyreek Hill, but to me, he's revolutionized this team and what they bring to the table. Crappy offensive line play. I mean, come on, we should be used to this as Dolphins. This is just another day in the park.
It's in our DNA.
Yeah, we know DNA. We know about this. This is Columbo. All right, this is not Tyson Klebo. We've been through the trenches of no trenches. I feel okay. You know, I really do. And I think that they having the idea that they know they have to probably go this week or a couple of weeks without him, I have the faith that this team can put it all together and be all right. I think that we were starting to see some really, really great signs with no Austin Jackson in there for sure, with no Liam Eikenberg. They've dealt with some blows. This game may be the most untouchable blow of them all, but I think they have shown a great propensity to adjust to these guys getting hurt because this was not the line they planned on having this season.
We've been through Jesse Davis.
I don't even want to haunt people. You know, there could be kids listening. It's like saying the boogeyman's name.
Okay, you know what? You're right. You sold me. You sold
me. All right.
I mean, I can't answer that question with any other answer than Tyreek Hill. You're right. Like he has revolutionized this offense. I'm not giving up Tyreek for anything. So you're 100% right. I mean, it is going to come down to that run game though, right? And I do feel like if there's one area that the Dolphins are really going to try to take advantage of the Niners defense, it is running the football, which is weird because their pass defense is 11th. It's their rush defense that I think is first overall. But don't you just feel like Mostert and Jeff Wilson want this bleep so bad? Like, I really, and not even because of the social media stuff, like that's all cutesy or whatever, but both of them going back to San Francisco, Jeff Wilson Jr. was gifted to us for a fifth round pick. And they said, see ya, we got McCaffrey, don't need you anymore. Like, I really feel like those guys want to run it down their throats. And I do feel like McDaniel, you know, the run game guru, is going to do everything he can to put them in that position.
Well, I agree with you. Like, we don't have much of a tracker with Jeff Wilson because so we haven't heard him speak too much. He seems like a pretty cool character, but he runs with bad intentions. And I love that about him. Yeah. Like he likes to, you know, he's really, I think, in his short time here, really endeared himself to Dolphin fans just with the toughness that he runs with that they haven't had in a little bit. And so, and I think having Mostert back is going to be great. I think having that thunder and lightning combination in the backfield is definitely helpful. Speaking of this, Chris Foerster, he's landing on his feet there, huh?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Is he with the 49ers?
Well, he's been their offensive line coach, but apparently he's now also their run game coordinator.
What? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Big grains. Big grains.
So you're telling me a California team hired him?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
He must
be really good at his job. All jokes aside. I mean, otherwise, why does he keep getting gigs? It's crazy.
To survive that and not only land on your feet, but have a pretty decent role. He must be pretty good at his job.
What was it that she released that video for? Wasn't her point that she said that this guy was going to not be able to, was going to get, I mean, she really turned out to be right. Cause didn't she say that, let's see if he has held up to the same standard as Colin Kaepernick, and he wasn't, I mean, he got a job. He landed on his feet, like basically after a year away, boom, yeah. Chris Foerster right back with the 49ers.
Yeah.
So that stripper was spot on.
Yeah, it also is hard for me to remember anything other than the viral meme, which is
it's crazy.
You know,
it's just said,
the finger to the nose.
There's those big grains falling. I got to get to this meeting, honey, and I love you a lot. Then just does a rail, just hoovers it up his nostril.
It's Tony Montana-esque.
Just crazy. And that is not even in the top five of Dolphins crazy stories over the last 15 years.
Can't top us, baby.
But it's a doozy.
Cutesy, you know? Try by Robert Kraft spending money at an Asian massage parlor. Cutesy try by Robert Kraft, but you know he's still got about 7 or 8 more controversies, scandals to even come close to the Dolphins.
Well, yeah, it's what a wild thing, man. Video allegedly shows Dolphins coach Chris Foerster snorting white powder leaked.
Huh. Legend.
I'm trying to read up on the quotes from this, trying to remember why she posted this. Because it was just a banana story.
I can't believe he's in San Francisco. That's actually really funny.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, I told you there's layers to this story, dude.
Yeah, there really is.
Layers to this story. Crazy.
That's a great nugget by you. I'd totally forgotten that. Not only was he still in the NFL, but
dude, well, I remember him being the offensive line coach, but I did not know he basically took over McCoachin's gig. I mean, McCoachin was the offensive coordinator, but he was also the run game coordinator. So this guy, you know, they're like, hey, Forster, you know, he does a little, and he's like, yeah, I could do two jobs.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm hyped up for it.
Sleep? Never heard of it.
Man, it's crazy. I'm like looking at press conferences of him right now. Terrence Forster talks offensive line progression of the Niners. Just talking about some regular stuff. You know what?
Do you think that's brought up at all? Like, hey,
not
former,
by the
for your former team is coming here.
Oh man, I can't imagine. I can't imagine that's brought up. I can't. But I'm sure that that has to. Like, how does that go with the interview process? That's such a crazy thing, man. I don't know. Chris,
what about in the locker room? Like,
oh, for sure. Right? I think if you coach Christian McCaffrey, it's gotta be the first question that comes up. Hey, who's my Christian? Like, gets traded to the 49ers. He Googles, who's my coach? Chris Forster. What the hell?
Let's see what happens if you type in Chris Forster and you image search him. Let's see. Chris Forster images.
Is actually a story. No lie. I'm reading right now in the Tampa Bay Times. It says drugs and viral video wreck Chris Forster's NFL career. Super Bowl 54 offers redemption. Who's thinking about his redemption in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Chris Forster, five facts you need to know. Let's see. Let's go down the rabbit hole. The video appears to show coach snorting multiple lines and talking about how he misses the women he sent it to.
Chris Forster was having a day. This is from the Tampa Bay Times 2 years ago. Chris Forster was having a good day. That's how he measures his progress. Wake up, breathe, put one foot in front of the other. He pours a cup of coffee, swallows his sorrows, and gets on with the rest of his life. Quote, I'm at peace. Now I have to figure this crap out. How to live right. I've almost got 2 or 3 years of this, being honest. Used to be from 1 minute I woke up, I was telling lies. Crazy.
Wow.
What a thing. Hired as a consultant for the 49ers 2 years ago. He didn't coach. He's still on the grass. His offensive lineman teased him. Ooh, they let you out of their cage? Yeah, of course offensive lineman would tease him. metaphorically, they were right. First, I had not been on a field with a football team in more than 2 years. It had been one place where he had felt free to be himself, where the lies that he told, the drug use that he concealed of his identity were left on the other side of the white lines. That's good writing by the Tampa Bay Times.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Quote, time.
Nobody could text. Nobody could call. Nobody could ask me for anything. I was just authentically, I could be Chris Forster, the coach. If you immediately didn't recognize the name, chances are you will remember the video. You'll remember that the Miami Dolphins offensive line coach, using a rolled up $20 bill, snorted a white powdery substance. The video was made by one of his jilted girlfriends, who posted disturbing images of the man taking a wrecking ball to a 36-year coaching career and his seven-figure salary and his marriage and three children. Jeez, that's crazy. First, he became aware of the video that he posted on social media at midnight, hours after the Dolphins had beaten the Tennessee Titans. By daybreak, he was asked to resign. Man.
Is the NFL like the only league who could survive that scandal?
It's crazy. Like, especially for his position. Like, he's not a head coach. He's not an offensive guru. He's an O-line coach. And he must be the greatest ever. wild. All right. Well, another story that we got going into this week.
Yeah.
Did you hear Kyle Shanahan talk about Tua this week? Did you hear him gush over Tagovailoa?
No, I didn't. He praised him, though.
Praised him. Says he's been. He says since week one, he thinks he's been playing the game as good as anybody. He says that he was very impressed with how he's able to throw the ball over the middle. Did compare him to Matt Schaub. I wasn't too fond of that, but he was saying that he compared him to Matt Schaub in the way he quickly delivers the ball, moves through his reads fast. And in fairness, when Shanahan had Matt Schaub, he had his best season of throwing for nearly 5,000 yards. So I think he has fonder memories of Matt Schaub than most of us do.
Well, for us, all I can think about is Matt Schaub running down the middle, beating the Dolphins in Houston. That's all I can think about.
Crazy. It's a wild one, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Before we go, Tobin, yep. We're never afraid to get a little petty on the show. Mm. Did you hear what this Bart Scott said about Tua on ESPN Get Up?
No, what did he say?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I read this on Twitter, and truthfully, man, this may be a little reckless of me because I haven't like fact checked this, but I read a bunch of Dolphins fans a little upset here.
You just went straight to Dolphins receipts.
Just straight to Dolphins receipts, and I did zero preparation for this, but apparently Bart Scott today was on ESPN's Get Up, and they posed the question: which quarterback would you rather have? You know, like a panelist. I don't even know who else was there. Okay. I imagine it's this Mike Greenberg. Who you know, I'm surprised he's taken time away from talking about his New York teams to
talk.
They asked, who would you rather have for the next decade starting today? Tua, Herbert, or as you'd say, Burro? And everybody took Joe Burrow, and I think one person took Herbert. And the quote that everybody was upset about was that Bart Scott said, Tua's one hit away from joining Pat White and going to play baseball. Jeez. So, yeah, which, you know, it's kind of harsh from Bart Scott, but like I was asking this of Crowder today on the show, what's it going to take for Tua to be respected nationally by, you know, not just the talking heads, but even just the casual NFL fan, because I still think people are respecting what he's doing, right? Like people know that he's having a good season, but I do think most people just chalk it up to one, you brought in Mike McDaniel, who's the offensive, you know, genius, and two, Tyreek Hill is just a monster and Jalen Waddle's a monster. So I still feel like people respect Tua and the season he's having, but they give more credit to his season to the other factors around him. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, like, what is it going to take for people to hold Tua in that regard, where it's no longer he's playing like third fiddle to Burrow and Herbert, and there's no conversation to be had about it?
It's a good question. I don't know if that can be answered this year in the regular season. Although I would say, I think that if he gets two out of these next three, it would mean he would beat at least, you know, one of everybody's darlings in Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. If he beat them both, I mean, that would be tremendous. I don't know how he's ever going to shake the durability thing. I think that's not a legit criticism. I think it is a legit concern. The guy takes some violent hits. He gets thrown around. We saw this last week in the first half where he got bent over like Gumby. It was crazy. That's never going to go away. But I do think that I don't have this sense that this guy is going to take any steps back. I just feel like we see a guy who is hitting his stride and is just very good at the position. And I think that maybe you could have chalked it up to he was throwing to just Tyreek Hill early in the year. Certainly he leaned on him a lot, but I think we're seeing the ball get spread around so much now. Every pass seems like it's a first down. I'm genuinely surprised when he has an incompletion. But I do think that he's in that polarizing, rarefied area. He's making a lot of people look stupid, which means that the minute that he has a slip up and they can pounce on him again,
yeah,
you know they will. So yeah. I think for this season, I think just for the early future, I think he needs to win two out of these next three, which is a tough ask because they're going to be probably underdogs, I'd say, in two out of these three. I don't, you know, I'm curious to see what that line looks like against the Chargers. I guess it'll depend on what happens this week, but
right.
I think it would shut a lot of people up if he was able to get two out of these next three games.
But long term, it's just like consistent playoff appearances, right, for the next 2-3 years and just keep up this level, because I still think beyond the durability stuff, people are just so focused on body type, right?
Yeah.
And like Burrow went to the Super Bowl and bro, he was a baller last year in the playoffs. So you can't knock Burrow. Like when he's healthy and he has his weapons, he's obviously always going to be a threat. But people look at Herbert and Tua and they have ingrained what they saw the last two seasons from Tua and then all those preconceived notions about his durability. And then on top of that, people look at Justin Herbert and they say he's got a cannon and he's 6'5" or whatever it is. And Tua's not. So I feel like
I think the thing that's interesting about it though is they've all suffered, you know, pretty gnarly injuries, you know, and everybody just puts it on Tua. Now Tua's suffered, I would say, probably the scariest one because he got stretched off a field. But Justin Herbert definitely hasn't looked like himself this year. I say in part because he took that vicious hit to the ribs earlier this season. And Joe Burrow's already had his ACL torn. So and certainly takes an ass kicking behind his line.
Yeah.
So I think all three of these guys, like, I get why Tua is the natural guy to go to because he's the smallest. But dude, there's not a lot of people, I would say, even Justin Herbert's dealing with a sore elbow. I don't think there's a lot of, like, I think it's just a thing we go to because of what his type is. But hell, Aaron Rodgers got a busted thumb. The only guy who ever gets to survive it is Tom Brady because he's the devil.
They're going to sneak into the playoffs for sure. You know, and they'll win a game too because it's Tom Brady.
Speaking of bum quarterbacks, since you mentioned it, Fitzpatrick. Oh, what a 180 this guy's doing.
Don't tell me he's back on the Tua train.
He told, this is from Barry Jackson's Miami Herald column, he told the AP Pro Football Podcast, quote, Tua's playing great. He lives in that box between the numbers, that line of scrimmage to 20 yards. He throws it so effective because he can see, because he can anticipate it. By the way, didn't I hear him earlier in the year say that he can't see? And now all of a sudden he can't see.
His exact words were he doesn't do anything great.
He's extremely accurate in the box. That's where he's been feasting this year. Some of this is Tyreek Hill with the stuff down the field. Some of the stuff to Tyreek Hill has been really impressive. A lot of it has been short with Tyreek Hill's coming back to make plays, stuff over the middle. There isn't a better passer in the league right now than Tua and what he's done.
Clown.
All of a sudden. Ass kisser.
What a clown. What a clown. They play the ukulele together and Tua has a great season. Now all of a sudden he's on the Tua train. What a clown. What happened to he doesn't do anything great? What happened to that? That was 5-6 weeks ago. Or maybe a little more, like 8 weeks ago. What happened to that, Tobin?
This guy's a fake. He's a fake and a snake. I've been saying it. You know, he hides behind that cartoonish beard and the media loves him. Ridiculous.
One lucky pass in Vegas to your boy, the TikToker, and he thinks he's some hero.
I'm glad you stopped sending me Mac Hollins TikToks. Thank you for that.
I had to unfollow him because after the barefoot video where he's talking about grounding himself, I'm like, all right, I'm done with Mac Hollins. I'm done.
All right, man. Safe travels out west. We'll West Coast porp it for you. And look, man, we're looking forward to action on Sunday. Hopefully the Dolphins can get this and go to 9-3.